It was such an emblem for the city, a representation of dreams realized. But tonight, in the glistening smog, it looked strange, almost gothic. It was too still, not a breath of breeze in the air. And one frond was dangling, hanging on by a tendril. He couldn't sleep. The problems with his career scrolled through his brain as he stared into the dark. But he must have drifted off eventually. He must have. Because some time later, he woke with a jerk and the sky outside was warming and the hanging frond was gone. And he could hear something from downstairs. The noise. It sounded animal. But the constriction of his throat, the ice pick prickle of his skin, all his body's senses told him that the awful sound downstairs was coming from a person.
A grateful wallaby hopped inside and was soon twitching in his sleep under a certain crazy quilt. No worries, thought Wombat. I'll have a cup of tea in my favourite chair instead. But as he lowered himself into that chair, he heard, Kookaburra was at the door. He looked scorched and bad-tempered.
Dreadful out here, Wombat! Fire is on the march! Spare a room for an old friend!
I do have quite a few rooms, thought Wombat. And so, Wombat said, come in! Wombat said, come in! From smoke and din and howling wind! Come in, my friend, come in!
I was still too short to stir the pot without the hem of my dress getting singed, so I tried to take Addie. But unsurprisingly, my sister only wanted Mama, and even then, with Mama's locket out of reach, she refused to be consoled. Miriam, go ask Lena if she can please spare a few vegetables, Mama asked, still without looking at me. I obeyed at once, happy to have an excuse to leave the house and visit our neighbor. But I wasn't fast enough to outrun Granny's words.
Hmm, Granny groused. As if a few vegetables could make your concoction edible. And we haven't had meat in days.
It isn't my fault we're poor,
Mama snapped, her own frustration boiling over. Granny sneered back at her.
Your children are starving, Anna, and all you've done is write to the king. You, a common peasant, had the gall to ask the king for help.
Addie started wailing in earnest, but Mama again ignored her as she rounded on Granny, she herself beginning to shout.
Frederick died nobly serving him. If it wasn't for him and his band of scouts, the land would have been overrun. Prince Joshua himself said so,
Mama shot back. I didn't have to look at Granny to know that wrinkles of scorn had joined the others on her face.
For all the good it did you.
Chapter 7. Build momentum with the power of gratitude. When practicing the laws of attraction, there is no greater emotion or sentiment to embrace than gratitude. To build momentum behind the visual and emotional work you are doing, you need to add one more element to your toolbox. The power of gratitude is the foundation of receiving. Be grateful for the life you have, and at the same time, be grateful for the life you are manifesting. Gratitude invites you into the present moment and asks you to embrace it completely. So much of the law of attraction can feel like a focus on the future. That's where it's easy to go wrong. Yes, you are attracting the desired future, but that only happens when the emotions and thoughts you experience in the present moment are just as blissful. Getting from a negative thought or feeling to a positive, fruitful one can happen in a single easy step. Gratitude. You don't attract what you want. You attract what you are.